Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis, and welcome also to 2016 to our listeners, and thank you very much for all your support in 2015. And every week over the years, we've liked to talk to Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, our business litigation reporter, because you can't be in business today and you can't be an entrepreneur unless you understand the landmine of potential litigation. So welcome back, Mark, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about arbitration clauses and class action waivers. There's a, I think, wonderful opportunity for business owners to, if they want their agreements to be subject to arbitration, in general, they'll be enforced, those clauses. And similarly, if the arbitration clause contains a class action waiver, in other words, a customer couldn't bring suit on behalf of not only themselves, but thousands of others, embroiling you in very protracted, very expensive litigation. Those are generally enforced now, too. There's been an important evolution in the law in this area over the last 10 years or so, where the United States Supreme Court has come out strongly in enforcing class action waivers and arbitration clauses, even in the consumer setting, and even where under state law they would not be enforced. The court has said that the federal arbitration law preempts state laws that may prohibit class action waivers and arbitration clauses in consumer contracts. The most recent case involved DirecTV. The Federal Arbitration Act says simply that a written provision in a contract providing for settlement by arbitration of a controversy arising out of that contract shall be valid, irrevocable, and enforceable save upon such grounds as exist at law or in equity for the revocation of any contract. And in a number of cases, it has been claimed that these clauses are contracts of adhesion, they shouldn't be enforced, they're unfair to consumers, they deprive them of their rights. And in each of these cases that have come up recently, the Supreme Court of the United States has rejected that argument and has enforced them. And it seems a strong, it seems to be the strong view of this court. In this case, the most recent case, DirecTV and its customers had a service agreement that included binding arbitration and a class action and a class arbitration waiver. It specified that the entire arbitration provision was unenforceable only in the event the law of the particular state made it unenforceable, but it also declared that it was governed by the Federal Arbitration Act. So the question was, the California courts refused to enforce it because they said it was violative of California law at the time that the agreement was entered into. But the United States Supreme Court said, sorry, it is enforceable because the state law is preempted by federal law. And the federal policy strongly favors arbitration of disputes when the parties agree to it. Now, and the idea of preemption is that state laws in general determine state rights. However, under the Constitution, state courts cannot violate federal law, and when it's intended that federal law preempts state law, you can't have a state law that's in conflict. You know, this part of how federalism works, a lot of rights are with the state, but certain rights are with the federal government, and this is a piece of that federalism principle. So in this case, as in the other arbitration cases involving consumers and class action waivers in arbitration, the court has sided with DirecTV. There were a few dissenters, but so I think the point for business owners is many businesses have, they're going to have both consumer customers, but they're also going to have relationships with other businesses. And arbitration clauses will be enforced, you know, with almost, with very few exceptions. So if you want your disputes with your vendors, suppliers to be decided by arbitration, make sure that the clause is in there. If you don't want to run the risk of a class action being filed against you, consider a arbitration clause that includes a class action waiver in it. So it's very straightforward when it's business to business. If the parties, to sophisticated business parties, agree to this, there's no question it'll be enforced. But now, under these Supreme Court decisions, it seems like even as to a customer, these provisions will also be enforced. Very important, because if somebody has a, let's say, a $7,000 claim against you as your company, that may be very uneconomic to bring. Maybe uneconomic to bring if it's a $20,000 claim. So the power of a class action, if it's that type of issue that could be brought as a class action, is, you know, you basically in effect are a representative of 10,000 people or 1,000 people, however much many there are, and there are lawyers who will handle class action cases on a contingent fee basis. So a class action lawyer wouldn't have much interest in suing your company for $7,000 or $20,000, but if there was a representative of a class of 1,000 or 2,000, it changes the case dramatically. So this is, I think, an important issue. Arbitration clauses are not just used in the vendor context and in the customer context, but increasingly they're being used in employment contracts where claims of discrimination are being required to be brought in arbitration. That's another opportunity for businesses, if they don't want to be subjected to a jury trial potentially, where there may be much more risk on awards like emotional distress damages. So this whole subject of arbitration clause, whether in your contracts you want to have them, is it really a critically important issue for business people? But the time to think about it is at the outset of the relationship. It's too late once the problem arises. If it's not in the agreement, you can't compel arbitration once the dispute arises. You got to plan for this ahead of time. And I think when I talk to folks, you know, I think in general they see the value to it if they're business owners. But I think it's an area that gets ignored if people don't talk to their lawyer about it. So my suggestion is that you speak to your counsel about, you know, your agreements and whether or not, you know, many companies have their standard form terms and conditions. Think about whether or not you want to include arbitration. And don't forget considering where you want the dispute resolved, not just arbitration versus court, but where, what city, what forum.
Can you pick the city?
Yes.
You can pick the city. I didn't know that. I understood the state, but I didn't. I never thought of the city before.
Yeah, like a common arbitration clause is, you know, say a particular arbitration service like the American Arbitration Association in Boston. So if you're a Massachusetts company and that's in the agreement, that's very helpful. But if the party you're contracting with has a clause that says the arbitration or the litigation will be brought in the state and federal courts or the American Arbitration Office in San Francisco, California, if you're a local company, you've already behind the eight ball, just based upon the inconvenience of what the agreement says as the destination for where the dispute is going to be resolved. These are provisions of agreements that you have the potential ability to influence that will mean thousands and thousands of dollars of legal fee savings and reduced risk in the future, but only if you act proactively. It's got to be, you know, you got to plan ahead. And let's face it, not everybody in every deal has the same bargaining power, so you may not be able to get the provisions you want as to the forum in which your dispute will be decided. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be thinking about and trying to get into your terms and conditions or into your standard form agreements matters that are helpful to your company in the event something goes wrong. Hopefully nothing ever goes wrong, but as we all know, Jeffrey, from time to time, businesses do have disputes with suppliers, customers, and vendors, and planning for it is a very, very important thing rather than waiting for the problem to arrive and then searching for, okay, what was the deal? Where is this going to get done? You know, these kinds of things can avoid things like having to race to the courthouse to file the first case and things like that. So that's my suggestion as we start 2016.
I think you're actually being quite diplomatic, Mark. Mark, very interesting. If somebody wants to contact you to learn more about this type of situation and how you might be able to help them and make them more informed, how would they find you?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com or at 617-218. 2025.
Great, Mark, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and that was Mark Furman. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.